Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Through our readings for today, the Lord invites you to open up your eyes. He invites you to see the world as it is, full of tumult and chaos because of sin, because of our sin. But he also invites you to open your eyes and see that he is firmly in control. And he is redeeming his creation. He is putting all things right. The Lord invites you to look up, to look back, and look around, and see that the day of your redemption is drawing near. The introit for today, which we did not sing during the second service, we heard the voice of the psalmist say, and if you open up your bulletins, you can see that. It's from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Those gathered in the first service spoke these words together, made them their own, and their voices joined together with the psalmist's voice. Together we all speak of where our eyes are lifted. They're lifted to the hills, to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount, the place where the Lord had chosen to dwell with his people of old. To speak of your hope, of your help, that being your Lord who has made the heavens and the earth, the same creator of the heavens and the earth is your help in times of need, in times of confusion, in times of chaos. For he is not only the creator of the heavens and the earth, but he is also its redeemer and its sanctifier. It was in Jerusalem, in the temple area in particular, that the disciples and Jesus were walking that day that we read about in the 21st chapter of Luke's gospel. They were in the actual place where the psalmist, where the eyes of the psalmist were drawn to look for help. It's the holy hill, Mount Zion, where the Lord had promised to dwell with his people in the midst of that temple. There in the courtyard, the eyes of the disciples were drawn upward as they beheld the majestic works of stone that were adorned with intricate decorations and glittering in places with gold. They looked up and they marveled at what they had seen. This wonderful, magnificent temple. Truly, it was a place worthy of the Lord's dwelling. Truly, here, the God of the heavens and the earth could dwell among his creation. But then Jesus speaks, and he tells them that all of this is going to change. The storm clouds were building. Chaos would erupt as the storm came, and it would leave not one stone on top of the other. The temple would be destroyed, Jesus said. And yet out of the storm, new life would arise. You know, a few weeks ago, the people of Jamaica looked up. They saw the sky grow dark. The storm was coming, and it too would bring chaos. Hurricane Melissa came, and as it did, it leveled buildings. It devastated the island nation. In the storm's wake, there is distress and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and its waves. The people of Jamaica looked up to the heavens, and what they saw there terrified them, for no help came from there. And us, as we were living here in Indiana, when we're looking at the images on our computer screens, our smartphones, or TVs, there's a feeling of fear and foreboding over what is coming on the world. Where does my help come from? Where is the maker of heaven and earth? What is he doing? Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The maker of heaven and earth invites you to look back. Look back to Jesus with the disciples in the temple courtyard. And as you look back, you'll hear the words of the Lord. Words, though, that at first do not offer much comfort. They speak of chaos rather than help. Jesus said that the temple would be destroyed. Not one stone would be left on the other. The majestic and glorious as the temple was, it would be leveled, razed to the ground. It meant that the maker of heaven and earth would no longer dwell in a building made by the hands of men. He would no longer accept prayers and sacrifices at that altar. No, he had greater plans for the help of his creation. For God would not dwell in a building made by the hands of men, but he would dwell in the flesh of man, conceived not by the will of a husband, but by the will of the Father. He would no longer accept prayers and sacrifices at the altar, for he himself would offer the prayers as the perfect high priest, and he himself would be the sacrifice to atone for the world's sin. For out of the chaos and the destruction of the temple, new life would emerge. Out of the tomb following the cross, Jesus would emerge, alive, never to die again, but to live and to release creation from the curse of sin and death, so that he could intercede for you, and so that he could make his dwelling place with you by his Spirit. Look back and see that these words of chaos and judgment and destruction that the Lord foretold actually took place. In the year 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. And the apostles, well, they were persecuted. Paul and Peter locked up. They stood in the courts and they gave witness to the Lord about his resurrection. Stephen was the first of many to be put to death. There were wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, hurricanes. Those words of the Lord have not passed away. They are, in fact, still holding true even now. If these were the only words that the Lord had spoken, then you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, we would be left with fear and foreboding, but they're not the only words uttered by our Lord Jesus. He promised, "Not a hair on your head will perish. This word also will not pass away." This word of promise was held on by Stephen, or rather, the word of promise held on to Stephen, because as we look back and see that Stephen, the first martyr of the church, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they, those persecutors of the church, cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him to death. Stephen died. And yet, the word of the Lord remains forever. Not one hair on his head perished. For the Lord is his keeper. The Lord is his shade on his right hand. The Lord has kept him from all evil. He even now keeps his life. If you look around you, you will see things in this world that cause fear and fainting and foreboding. You look around and you see the creation subject to futility. You see the world groaning as if in the pains of labor. And the truth of the matter is, it's not going to get better in the coming days. But there is hope. Because it will get better. It will get better when the clouds of chaos give birth to the Son of Man as he comes in all of his glory. When you look around, do not be afraid. For you are living stones. You are being built up as a spiritual house. St. Peter says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" As you hear and believe the words of the Lord, as you receive the fruits of his sacrifice on the cross at this altar, the maker of heaven and earth is building up his church one living stone at a time. Do not be afraid, but stand up. Raise up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. The Redeemer is coming, and his church, his temple, that means you, you living stones, you will not be toppled down by any storm. Lift up your heads. Your help has come and will come. And as you look around and as you wait for that great and glorious day, you will see that there is precious work to be done. Righteous work for the benefit of your neighbors, some of whom do not know where to look in this time. The Lord directs your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfast love of Christ. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. And so your worship of the Lord, the receiving of his gifts, that's the beginning, that's the source of good and right works for your neighbor. Now through you and your good works, your neighbor may be served, and they may encounter God through you. You direct their eyes to look to the cross of Christ and see their Redeemer. God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. They need to hear your voice as you point to the cross. The people in Jamaica, they need your good works. The community of Bloomington, they need your good works. Your employer needs your good works, as does your family, your children, your spouse. They need your good works, especially during the times when they look up and all they see around are clouds of chaos. But you are a people of God who cling to the word of the Lord that will endure forever. And those around you will benefit from the good works that the Lord does through you. And through you, they may look up and receive the help of the Lord, the maker of heavens and the earth. So may this word of the Lord encourage you not to grow weary in doing good as the Lord gives us breath. You've looked around, looked back, looked up. Your eyes are open to the reality of our sin and its effect on all of creation. But your eyes are open, also open to see the Creator of the heavens and earth is our help and our hope. In Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, it is in him that we have our help and our hope. For he is yet present with us among the clouds of chaos, and he is indeed putting his creation to rights. So straighten up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our present and coming Lord. Amen.